Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Angela Stiles, Administrator for Federal Procurement Policy in the Office of Management and Budget. Well, Angela, in our last segment, you talked a lot about competitive sourcing, so I'd like to go back to that. How do you encourage competitive sourcing at agencies?
I think that's it's a difficult process to encourage any large change in management in the way we manage agencies. Before I got to OFPP, there were some numeric goals that were set for the agencies that they had to compete 5% of their FTEs that were listed on their FAIR Act inventories for 2000. In 2002, they had to compete them in 2002, and then they had to compete 10% in 2003. What we've really moved to, you know, we set those up as goals, and in some respects, somewhat arbitrary goals, because we had to have something to get agencies moving down the line. But when Mark Everson came on board, he's the head of OFFM, the Office of Federal Financial Management within OMB. He brought some very creative ideas from the private sector with him, and one of them was a management scorecard. And what we have done is we've taken all five of the president's management agenda items, and we have a scorecard for the major departments and agencies that participate on the president's management council. They essentially get a red, yellow, or green mark for a baseline. What we've just gone through is we've made a baseline determination of where they are on each initiative as of September 30th of this year. And we've communicated with them, you know, what their score on this baseline is. And the president will be receiving it in the next couple of weeks, and he'll be discussing it with the cabinet. And Mitch Daniels will be discussing these scores with the cabinets as well, and with the cabinet officers as well. But that's not all of it. We had, quite frankly, there were a lot of red marks. We have a very aggressive mission, and almost, I think I counted about six yellow marks for the five initiatives at all the departments and agencies. And I can tell you every department and agency is red in competitive sourcing. I had that distinct goal of all, I had that distinct honor of all the management initiatives that I'm the only one that has all reds for all the departments and agencies. But, you know, that's not very useful in terms of pushing people forward. So what we did was we have a second side to the scorecard, which is progress on achieving the goals that we've set forth, or progress on achieving our vision. And the second side, we're going to score quarterly. If people have come in, particularly in competitive sourcing, they have a work plan, they have schedules, they have a good mix of direct conversions and true public-private competition. If we see that they're making real progress, they can have a green come January or a yellow come January. And it's quite an incentive. It's actually is an excellent tool for the departments and agencies to discuss where they're going with us, because it's something on one page that the president can use, that the director of OMB can use, that he can talk to the departments and agencies, and where they can see what the scores are and how they compare to others. I've been pleasantly surprised at how this tool, this scorecard tool, works much better than setting up somewhat arbitrary numeric goals on the board and saying you need to meet these. This is actually a way to effectively work with the agencies on their plans to really make some progress, and I've been pleasantly surprised at the progress we're making, particularly at the civilian agencies, as a result. And I think the other owners of these management initiatives are very happy with this as well. Not to say that we don't still have aggregate goals that we want to meet of 5% and 10% in competitive sourcing, but this is a much better way to make sure that we have good management plans. I'm not looking for just goals, arbitrary FTE goals. I want good management plans. I want people to really be thinking about this in a functional sense and what makes sense to compete.
Well, let me ask you about the scorecard. Would an agency have gotten a red because they hadn't reached their goals? I know you described the progress towards doing that, but for the first one out, how did you get a red?
Well, actually, the metrics are available on our website at omb.gov. For competitive sourcing, we did have some rather objective goals of, have you competed 15% of your FAIR Act inventory from 2000? And, you know, certainly in, you know, 9 months, no agency's actually done that. It'll probably be a couple years in the broad vision respect before an agency can move from red to yellow as far as competitive sourcing goals. But we have some other things in there. Are they considering an appropriate mix of direct conversions and public-private competition? Because the point of this is not to just convert or outsource to the private sector. The point is really to have true competition infused in the government, to have public-private competition, and to give employees an opportunity to compete and to show us their entrepreneurial skills and really move the government forward from a management perspective.
Early on in our discussion, you described a somewhat unique mission of OFPP, working with lots of different groups. And I'm curious, how do you manage cross-cutting issues and the divergent perspectives amongst the different stakeholders?
I think it's really the hardest part of the job because OFPP really has a large group of stakeholders. You know, we've obviously got the president, we've got Congress, we've got all the departments and agencies, we have industry, we have the unions. And the only way to really be effective in communicating with them is to be out there talking with them, have an open door policy, you know, and I truly do have an open door policy. And where people aren't coming in, I go out and seek them. I mean, I've had, I think in some unique ways, I've had some recent meetings with the government employee unions, AFTE and NTEU, because I think it's essential, whether it's competitive sourcing or anything else, that we have good communications. We may not always agree on issues, but we have good communications and then we get input and that we work on the issues together because, you know, if we're ignoring one sector of the stakeholders, I don't think we can appropriately move forward. It's essential to have as open a door as possible, whether it's in rulemaking or whether it's simply in working on some of the policies and initiatives.
How do you actually do that communication? You can't meet one-on-one with all the people you described. How do you really do that?
I certainly go out and speak a lot. There are some councils that we work with. We certainly, for the rulemaking process, we have the FAR Council, which is a well-developed process that was set up by statute to work with the main rulemaking agencies to make sure that we have appropriate input from both the agencies and the public. You know, as I talked about before, that's really a key to transparency in the system. And I really do get out there and talk to people on a regular basis. I mean, we have formal communications, but, you know, the informal ones in many respects are the ones where I get the most information from people, and I'm also able to relay more information that way.
Well, let me shift gears here a little bit and talk about the procurement and acquisition professionals. What kind of training and professional development resources are available to them?
I think we've really had an explosion in the resources that we have available in training. I think over the past 10 years, there was a reduction in the acquisition workforce, but also a recognition since there was a reduction in the workforce and there were a lot of changes in the procurement system of the need to appropriately train these people. We have numerous schools. We have in-house institutes that offer procurement training, such as the Defense Acquisition University and the Treasury Acquisition Institute. And there's also a lot of private sector training firms that have really blossomed in recent years. And even you've got colleges and universities that have gotten into the act. You've got George Washington University, University of Virginia, University of the District of Columbia, all are offering degrees and programs in procurement and contracting. I think federal procurement managers and employees are encouraged and even required in most cases to take continuing education credits and to update their skills and to stay abreast of the field because it is constantly changing and it's essential for them to do that.
And I was going to ask you about that. Are those courses teaching the way things used to be or the way things should be or might be? I know many of your predecessors have talked about the acquisition professional changing in their role in an organization. So I'm curious, is the training helping to drive this new vision?
I think the training has helped to drive this new vision. I think it's helped to make some cultural changes and some step forwards in how the procurement community works and works together. I think one of the key elements for me that we really haven't addressed is how we get a more cradle-to-grave view of acquisition, how we get the program managers, the program requirements people, and the procurement people to all work together. The focus of acquisition reform was really on the isolated piece of procurement. But to do a good job to move forward, whether it's competitive sourcing or whether it's simply in procurement, you really have to have these people working together and communicating together, or you don't end up with a good product and you don't really end up with a good procurement. But I find at the civilian agencies that there are some cultural difficulties to those people communicating, and that's one of the most difficult challenges of this office is to figure out how to get these people communicating, to have better statements of work, to have better contracts, to really take it to the next step.
How will you measure your success?
Well, I do have a scorecard. It's not the agency. It's not simply the agencies that are being measured on the scorecard. I think it's also internally that the director, Mitch Daniels, is certainly measuring us on how successful we are in moving the departments and agencies forward in the president's management agenda item. But I really came to this office with the idea that we needed to take a hard look at where we were in acquisition reform. And if I'm successful in some ways calming down the system and taking a practical view of it, you know, we can't keep training people on new things, if we keep changing the system, I want to make sure that we've trained them on the right parts of the acquisition system, that people understand it, that we know where the problems are, that we know that we've achieved the goals, and that we take a careful and cautious approach to this so we know, from my perspective, that I'm getting the best value for the taxpayer in terms of price and quality, and that we've got the proper rules and regulations in place to do that. I mean, the most important job here, I think, is being a good steward of the $200 million that we're spending.
Well, that's a good stopping point. Rejoin us after the break as we continue our conversation with Angela Stiles, Administrator for Federal Procurement Policy. This is the Business of Government Hour.